Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
From the deer stand to the bass boat and everywhere in between, Hunter's Hollow has all you need. Firearms, ammo, bows, fishing rods, and more. The latest in gear and accessories, plus Thunder Hollow Indoor Gun Range. Hunter's Hollow, Highway 6 West, between Oxford and Batesville. Online, huntershollow.com.
What's up? Happy last day of June. We are already, by the time that you are listening to this, now I know people watch live as well, but by the time you're listening to this, it is July. We are already in school month. For you parents out there, school is starting this month as you're listening to this. To be honest with you, I am not excited about that. I know some parents are. I'm not judging you. There's nothing wrong with being excited for school to start back up. I am not looking forward to that, though. This summer is going by too quick. There's only like 4.5 weeks left of it, and I'm not looking forward to school starting back. But we are in school month, and we are getting ever so closer to SEC Media Days. We're getting ever so closer to training camp. Nobody's here in town in the Jackson area at all. There's like nobody here. Everybody's gone on vacation. Obviously, the 4th going on this weekend. It's a big vacation week, but there's nobody here. I mean, like, the commute home from the radio show was the fastest that it's ever taken me to get home of all time. So if you guys are out on vacation doing something, I appreciate you listening, and I hope you're safe and you have fun. And things of that nature. So I'm really glad that you are here on this edition of the show. We've been doing top fives on the radio show. I want to bring one for you here. Top five reasons for optimism, and then the top five reasons for pessimism. So glass half full, glass half empty. A couple of these are kind of contradictory, I guess, but that is, you know, off-season content in a nutshell. I've got five reasons for you why you should be optimistic about your football team in 26, and then, of course, five from the opposite. So I appreciate you being here. I'm glad that you are here. Yes, Ecuador and Mexico time. I hate to tell you, I don't particularly care because I am locked in, focused on Bosnia tomorrow. We are on to Bosnia. It's all we're thinking about. It's all we're talking about is Bosnia. And we have to beat Bosnia tomorrow. And we got to lock in. All of us collectively got to lock in and pull our boys through. 7 o'clock tomorrow, the first knockout stage primetime game in USA World Cup history, I believe. The first three games for the United States have all rated over 24 million people, and only one college football game was watched by more people than our three World Cup games have been, and it was the national championship game. The neither semifinal game went north of 20. It's amazing. So my over-under for tomorrow's viewership, I think, would be 30 million. What would be the over-under? And I do think the over will hit, but that would kind of be where I'm looking at, is can this game get to the 30 million mark? I know I will be one. That is for sure. And you guys should join me because it's a lot of fun. And I'm totally locked in. I mean, I cannot believe. I know we're here to talk about football, but I don't particularly care. We went to the friendly in Nashville against Switzerland and got absolutely obliterated. And I think only Tim Ream from the A-team played that day, but it was an abysmal performance. And we drove 12 hours to go to the zoo and to go to this soccer game. 12 hours worth of driving in a 24-hour period, really. And drove home thinking, the World Cup is going to be a disaster. And sure enough, we're in this position right now. So I can't believe we've gone from that to this. So really fun, really good stuff. I will probably talk about it with you guys on Thursday, to be honest. But I'm wasting too much time. My apologies for wasting too much time. I'm just super jacked up about this game tomorrow. I'm also jacked up to tell you about my friends at Scruggs Farm Lawn and Garden in Saltillo, Mississippi, right outside of Tupelo. They've got anything you need under one roof, and I mean anything. I've been there. If you think Costco is big, this place got nothing on. Costco's got nothing on this place. The toy aisle, also very good. I haven't mentioned that yet. selection for kids is awesome. The boots, the clothes, the fishing, the cheapest beer in town, home improvement projects, anything you need for inside the home, in the garden. They've got all of that for you, but also your John Deere, America's tractor. 0% financing on all of these, okay? 0% on all these John Deeres, zero turns, 5-series tractors, compact tractors, commercial mowers, all 0%, and the Gator for 1.9%, all at Scruggs. Tell them I sent you. 3575 Tom Watson Drive in Saltillo, Mississippi. When you go, tell them that it was me that sent you there, and I would very, very, very much appreciate that. Really good people there at Scruggs. They understand you. They'll take care of you. Not some big corporate thing. No, it's just a bunch of Mississippians like you that'll take good care of you. And don't forget to tell them that it was me that sent you there. Okay, your top five will go positive first, negative second. Top five reasons for you to be optimistic about Ole Miss football in 2026. Number five, there's a lot of familiarity. And that familiarity with the coaching staff. So we'll start with the coaching staff. Familiarity with the coaching staff is number five. Because usually when you have coaching changes, everything is new. New systems, even if they're similar, they're new. New faces, new coaches, a lot of new players also. More on that in a second. But there is an incredible familiarity despite it being a new coaching staff. You guys know this already, but just to be repetitive. The defense, it's the exact same system because it's the same person running the defense. It's the same guy. It's the same scheme. So there's no learning really that has to go on defensively. And that staff is largely the same. John David Baker has not been the offensive coordinator at Ole Miss, but obviously, as you know, he has worked at Ole Miss and he is under that Kiffin tree. The offenses, while they're going to have their differences, are similar. It's not like they're going from the air raid to the triple option. It's somebody that has worked at Ole Miss. Some of the players on the roster have been recruited by or have coached or been coached by John David Baker, so there's a familiarity there. He was with them during the playoff run, which I think is incredibly valuable, both with coaching style and scheme and proof of concept and all the things that come with that. Joe Judge, obviously, still there. Many members of the offensive staff still there. Offensive line coach, the guy that was the receivers coach during the playoffs, still there. Frank Wilson has a familiarity with Ole Miss, obviously having coached there before. Even the GM is somebody, Austin Thomas, that has worked at Ole Miss in the past. So there's a lot of familiar, even though it's a new coaching staff and new things like that. That is very important. So that's my number five. Number four, the age of the roster. You saw it be such a great advantage for Indiana in their run to the national championship. I'm going to use Our Lads for this. Our Lads is a really good service. They have depth charts for basically everybody in college football. Also, I believe in the NFL as well. Again, really helpful. It's not an exact science. It's not perfect. But just for the sake of this exercise, I'm going to read you the academic year of every listed starter for Ole Miss on this team. Redshirt junior, senior, senior, redshirt sophomore, redshirt junior, redshirt junior, redshirt senior, redshirt junior, senior, redshirt senior, junior. That's your offense. Here's your defense. Junior, 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 senior, redshirt senior, redshirt sophomore, junior, junior, senior, senior, senior. That is your defense. The age and the experience level that this team has, it's already talented, as you know, but that, I think, is a big factor. It's a lot of older guys, a lot of mature guys. A lot of them navigated something crazy at the end of last season. But that age factor, I think, is incredibly important in today's college football. A ton of experience, ton of mature guys. That is incredibly valuable to this team. Number three, the running game. Defense and running game travels, and it can be there every week for you. Obviously, you know about Trinidad's running ability, the interior three on the offensive line all returning, but it's the backfield that everybody talks about all the time. It's not just Kiwan Lacy. As I've told you guys before, I think his carry numbers are going to be, they should be, down this season. He doesn't need to be running in the second halves of blowout games. He doesn't need to run in garbage time. And I think they have guys that will probably do some level of rotating, even in meaningful games and in meaningful moments anyway. But Kiwon Lacy is a stud, but they need to protect him for the long haul of the season. And then for the next level as well, you've got Josh Dye, you've got Mekhi Frazier, you've got Shekhi Mills-Knight. It is a seemingly a really deep room. So when you've got the interior three on the offensive line, you got the tight end room, you do, you have the running threat at quarterback, and you have that backfield, that's the kind of thing that you can depend on every single week, right? And so the running game can help control clock, control games, and it's something depth-wise that is really impressive. And I think that that's something that they'll be able to lean on at times this year. When in doubt, just run the football. And they should be able to do that, both with the backs and the blocking ability and the running ability of the quarterback. That's number three. Number two, defensive line. Now, I do have – I'm monitoring the situation, as the kids say, about the edge position. Cam Franklin, super experienced, but they're going to depend on guys that have come from elsewhere, really. Blake Purchase from Oregon, Renaud from Alabama, Maldonado, the transfer as well from Nevada. Now, he's got the physical tools to be a stud, but a lot of guys from elsewhere that are expected to make contributions on this year's team at the edge position. So I'm monitoring that a little bit. But the depth that they have, especially at tackle on this defensive line, cannot be overstated. Every single scholarship defensive lineman, with the exception of Maldonado, I believe, was a three-star transfer prospect, is a former four- or five-star player. You've got Cam Beavers and Maddox listed as your third-string defensive tackles right now. That's how deep and talented they are on the defensive line. Front-end talent last year was good in that group, but I do think that they needed to, as we talked about during the playoff run, they didn't have the playable depth on the defensive line to match up with Miami. They had the first four starters, but they couldn't rotate the way they needed to. Same thing at linebacker. They did not invest in depth last year defensively the way that they needed to, and it showed. I believe that they have rectified that, and they have a very talented and very deep defensive line, anchored by Will Echols, obviously, and Cam Franklin. It's a very impressive talent group for sure. And number one, the most obvious one of them all, the quarterback. We mentioned age. He's 23 years old, a ton of experience, made very little mistakes, was never really rattled, especially down the stretch, navigated difficult moments in a difficult situation with class. He's got a full offseason as prep as the guy, but the second he got to campus at Ole Miss, out of every scrimmage, I've told you guys this before, after the scrimmages, the people that actually got to go see those things would say, yeah, Simmons did this and that, but man, this Chambliss kid. We should have been paying more attention to how he was tearing up basically the second he stepped on campus, because remember, he did join the team late. He's got a full offseason to prepare and be the guy. All the eligibility stuff and the distractions are out of the way, and the offense fits him. And if he is just the exact same guy as he was last year, Ole Miss is a playoff contender again, a championship contender again, and he will be a Heisman contender again this year if he just maintains that level of play. Veteran, smart, incredible skill set, accurate, protects the football. He's got all of those traits. And when you've got that at the quarterback position, it is really hard to screw it up, you know? It's the most important position on the field for a reason. And yeah, the number one reason for optimism. Negative side. So that's your glass half full. Here's your glass half empty. The top five reasons possibly for pessimism for Ole Miss in 2026. Number five, linebacker depth. I think that the starters are solid to awesome. With Keaton Thomas, again, let's have this conversation. Let's circle back to this at the end of the year. Keaton Thomas is going to be an all-SEC guy, possibly. Luke Farrell, you guys know about him. Centarian Perkins, if you want to count him as a linebacker, those three starters are quality. What I'm high quality. What I'm concerned about is possibly the depth. They've got Taj Butler, the Georgia Tech transfer. Hobson, Ant Davis was mentioned as somebody that was turning heads in spring practice. He's the freshman. They get Tony Mitchell, who transferred from State, who's played a ton of football, who Pete Golding said is finally figuring out that maybe linebacker is the position that he needs to play. But what happens if, God forbid, Luke Farrelly gets hurt? Who is that guy going to be? I am less confident in who that's going to be in the depth of the position. Starters are going to be fine. Backups very well may be fine too. I'm not as confident in the two deep in that group as I am the defensive line or the secondary. Number four, I expect this one to be completely just a null and void non-issue. But right now, presently, the group of wide receivers have only one guy that has done it at Ole Miss. I know Jonte Cook is somebody that apparently just had an awesome spring. I know Daryl Gill is a talented guy. I know Horatio Fields is a talented guy. I know Caleb Cunningham is a talented guy. I know Cam Miller came essentially with his receiver coach. There's things like that. There's a lot to like, but only one of these guys in Deuce Alexander has done it actually at Ole Miss. And so I would like to, before I start declaring the wide receiver group the best group of receivers ever or whatever, I would like to see them do it in an Ole Miss uniform. You've heard really good things out of the spring, but I don't quite yet know for sure as much as I feel like I do at other positions. Cunningham missed some time in spring, took Gill a little bit to come on, apparently. But again, apparently Jonte Cook was awesome this spring. Still, with a team this experienced and talented, you got to kind of pick nits in order to get there. Number three, inexperience at head coach. Now, there's familiarity, and as we talk about all the time, the way he handled whatever you want to describe the end of last season, the chaos that it was masterful. I don't know how many people would have navigated it the same way that he did. It was an excellent coaching job. But now the program is fully his. And he does not but have three games of experience at head coach. And that's not that many. One of his three games was against Tulane. So what's it going to be like now that the program is fully his, that the staff is his, that everything is by his design? I think it's going to go well. But because there is that inexperience, there's a chance that it does not. And that's out there, that is worth paying attention to, that is worth questioning. I think it's going to go fine. But if you're looking for a reason to wonder about this team in this season, that is a fair one. Inexperience at head coach. Number two, the offensive tackle position. We've talked about this one a lot as well. Terrez Davis only has a couple of starts under his belt. Tommy Kinsler was not a starter at Miami, even though he was going to start on this year's team, it seems. And you should trust the development that he got at Miami. But after that, who is it? Kern's already gotten himself in legal trouble. The other tackle is somebody that's barely played any football in his life, transferred from Florida. I mean, I guess Kutis could slide outside and play some tackle, and then maybe you look into possibly having somebody like, I don't know, John Wayne Oliver or somebody like that coming in and play guard. I don't know. That's an option as well. But the tackle position is a little concerning. It is a little concerning. And number one is the schedule. I don't need to beat a dead horse with this. The SEC made a mistake going to 9 conference games, but they did. And Ole Miss's schedule is significantly more difficult than last year's. 7 home games to 8 a year ago. You replace Washington State with Texas, essentially, and Tulane with Louisville is going to start the season ranked. So it's a much more difficult schedule than it was a year ago. And there's no denying that. You have to go to Florida, who should be improved, a week after LSU. You got to go back to Norman. You got to go to Austin. Georgia's still on the schedule. I mean, it's tough. It's a lot tougher than last year's. And so, if they don't go 11-1 again, the schedule very well could be to blame there. So anyway, I'll get to a few of your comments quickly after I tell you about Logan Smith Shelter Insurance. If you need auto, home, life, or business insurance, he's got you covered anywhere in the state of Mississippi. He's with Shelter, and he'll take care of you anywhere. Give him a call, 601-823-3500, 601-823-3500, and tell him it was me that sent you. Rob, good to see you. Glad you're here as well. Calling 50 million for tomorrow. I don't think it'll be 50 million tomorrow. I do think it will get up to that number if they're able to reach the semis or the final. Wondered how much you feel the offensive line has improved this year. Trinidad has to be protected. So I don't know. That tackle position is concerning. If you're looking for positive spin, again, the interior three are back. Kiwan Lacy's really good in pass pro. I think you've got a quality tight end room that can help you in that as well. It's an offense that gets the ball out quickly. Trinidad is excellent in protecting himself and in escaping pressure. This is an offense that doesn't need dominant tackles in particular to work, but I am concerned about that position for sure. Have I seen Penn State and Tennessee fans freaking out over the leaked Adidas uniforms? I have not. Let me see if I can find them. Leaked Penn State uniforms. Let's see. Reddit 15 hours ago. Okay, what was the old one, though? Because that doesn't look... So the logo on the collar is really small, but what's the old Penn State jersey? Yeah, I mean, they're right that if that leak is correct, the Lion logo on the collar is smaller, but everything else is the same. Oh, they put a Big Ten logo on the chest as well. And you can buy Nike ones without that. I would want that off personally. But no, I mean, the Penn State ones look fine. Let me see if Tennessee looks bad. All right, Reddit, help me out here. I don't think these look that bad either. No, they're fine. The logos are weird, though. The Adidas logo and the SEC patch are odd. And the T is too small. But any takeaways from what the Manning said about Trinidad? I am apparently dying on a hill of one. I've even got an Ole Miss burners in my mentions saying that there's something wrong with me for thinking this. I take away nothing from the Manning Passing Academy. And look, it's good that the Mannings say nice things about Trinidad. Trinidad said some good things in his interview section. But we're as a media group, we are just so thirsty for anything that we will latch on to the way a player looks at a camp for kids throwing in shorts to receivers that aren't theirs with no defense. And it's like... You know, while Trinidad was one of the standouts at the Manning Passing Academy, well, what does that even mean? It doesn't mean anything. He was a standout wearing shorts, throwing to high school kids. I don't understand what that is. And, you know, I said that on the radio show, and State fans were not happy because Kamario Taylor was a standout because, yeah, he's a big dude that throws the football far, but that doesn't mean anything. It's a camp in T-shirts and shorts thrown to high school kids. You know, when you're a program that is thirsting for any kind of positive pub, I get why you latch on to that. But for the reporters that are there, oh, wow, here's my top 10 quarterbacks that stood out at Manning Passing Academy. What does that even mean? They're throwing the football with no defense. That there's nothing to stand out. It's just it's an overreaction to what a camp counselor does. And I think that we read too much into it. But no, it's good that the Mannings say good things about Trinidad. That's a good thing. I don't think the Mannings would ever say anything bad about an Ole Miss quarterback, though. I think we read way too much into everything that comes out of the Manning Passing Academy. Everything. Oh, John Mateer's new throwing motion. John Mateer says his thumb's finally healthy. Well, his thumb being healthy does not, is that altering his brain too? Because he made bad decisions down the stretch last year as well. I'm far less concerned about his health than I am decision-making. But, you know, there's a video of him throwing at the Manning Passing Academy, and that changes everything or whatever. I don't know. Ole Miss will go 11-1 and play in the national championship game. If they go 11-1, Trinidad Chambliss will end his career as the greatest quarterback in the history of Ole Miss football. The 70-yard ball from Trinidad was nice, improved arm strength. But see, like, yeah, he threw a really nice deep ball. Like, that's awesome. There's no defense. There's no pads. Just try your hardest. Like, and the thing about a guy like Trinidad is you don't need the Manning Passing Academy to buy into how awesome he is. He's awesome. You know, you don't need that. You don't need the unnecessary BS to, I don't know. I know it's a hill that I'm dying on that apparently I should not be because a lot of people disagree with me. I just think that hyping up what happens at the Manning Passing Academy is a mistake. They should all look awesome because they're all college quarterbacks. If you don't look awesome at the Manning Passing Academy, that's a huge problem because all of them should look awesome. So I'm done, though. I'm done debating that. That was a... anyway, you know, a hill that I'm willing to die on in late June, I guess. But I appreciate you guys. Enjoy your soccer tomorrow. I can't wait. I'm super fired up. And I'll see you guys on Thursday night. And then the 4th of July will be here. So anyway, see you guys Thursday. You guys enjoy the rest of your night. And I'll talk to you then.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.